singing again. Turn to 666 in the hymnal. My Jesus, I love thee. And I would like to think that this is a testimony from our brother. And we join him in that testimony. Those here who know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. So let's sing this hymn together and reflect on the words of it. And as we do so, remember our brother's life and testimony. 666 in the hymnal, please.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, if ever I love thee, for Jesus is thou. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my
verses 3 and 4 of this hymn, singing,
I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as death be breath, and say when the death do hold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus is thou. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever and so bright, I'll sing with the bliss on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is thou.
Thank you so much for your singing. Be seated, and the program will proceed from here. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending this memorial service to remember and celebrate the life of my father, Chuck Goodyear. It's truly an honor for me to speak with you this morning. It's also an honor to convey to you several thoughts and recollections of my father experienced by my siblings and myself. Looking over the congregation today, I see many, many familiar faces. I've already greeted a few of you. I know that you also have fond memories of interactions with my dad. We have the opportunity to remember the many positive events and influences my father brought to life, and simply the wonderful life that he lived. It will not be a difficult task. The life my father lived makes that easy. Was my father perfect? No. but he was forgiven. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and made him Lord of his life. This simple yet profound act permeated his life and influenced all those around him. When I think of my dad, I think of the verse in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's so much I can say about my father, and I fear I won't be able to fill it in the hour that's been allotted to me. I will be mentioning only a small number of remembrances, but I hope they trigger many more thoughts that you have of Dad, and that you will share them among family and friends today and in the future. My dad wore many hats. You would think because of that, he would have gotten a big head. But not Dad. If he was anything, it was a humble man. Please join me as we remember Dad, Grandpa, Great-Grandpa, Great-Grandpa, Papa, Hubby, Uncle, Mr. Goodyear, Chuck, Charlie, Charles, Brother in Christ, and Friend. First and foremost, Dad was a great family man. Dad and Mom always wanted a big family. I remember being told when I was younger that they were inspired by a movie showing back then called Cheaper by the Dozen. Several years ago, we went to Cincinnati, Ohio for a family reunion, the chance to visit with many of our cousins and uncles and aunts on my mother's side of the family. The reunion was well organized, and one of the features was a room that had family trees for each of my mother's siblings, and they were on large poster boards. It was interesting to see the family trees of each of my uncles and aunts. When we got to the family tree for Dad and Mom, well, let me just say it took 2 large poster boards. Well, recently we consulted with a world-famous statistician, the esteemed Professor Excel Spreadsheet, and we did some calculations, and it seems that there are at least 163 branches on the family tree. I wonder how many poster boards that would take. Dad was also a loving husband, 2 times married during his lifetime, each marriage lasting over 30 years. First, of course, to my mother, Rita, who passed away in 1976, and then to Louise. Dad loved telling people about his 2 great marriages. He also used to joke that between the marriages, he was given off time for good behavior. Next, Dad was a great provider. He always worked hard to provide for his family, many times taking on extra work to make sure there was healthy food on the table, ample clothing on our backs, and a safe roof over our heads. That was not always easy with 10 children. Over his lifetime, he had several occupations, including construction worker, insurance salesman, steel plant worker. He liked that one because he said, he drove a truck, and he said he could read his Bible a lot when the truck was stopped. But it also gave him an opportunity to witness to his fellow employees, always leaving tracts and New Testaments and Gospels of John and speaking with them. He was a jack, or should I say chuck of all trades, fixed anything and everything around the house. In the 1950s, he also served the village of Blaisdell in several capacities. He was a trustee for the village, a clerk for the village, and the mayor of the village of Blaisdell for a term. Dad being a provider brings to mind many fond memories. One of the fond family memories is the cow that Dad and Mom purchased in order to cut down on our milk expenses. I bet many of you didn't know about that. They kept the cow in the kitchen. No, it was not a real cow. It was a very large refrigerated milk dispenser that contained, I think, 2 5-gallon containers of milk. We called it the cow. I can remember going to the cow and filling up a pitcher of milk for family dinner. A second fond family memory is our Sunday afternoon trips we would take sometimes to McDonald's for lunch. That was a real treat. Dad and Mom would always invite another person or two to go with us. I always enjoyed seeing the expression on the cashier's face when we put in the order. We'll have 16 hamburgers, 14 orders of fries, and 14 medium Cokes. Dad was always generous. Generous was his middle name. He not only provided for his family, but he provided his time, talents, and resources to many others. He loves helping out wherever needed. For example, he spent countless hours working at Camp Lailolai, especially during the years when the camp was being built, and later as a counselor and as the maintenance director, etc. I just don't know how he did it, where he would find the time or the energy, but he did. Other areas that Dad loved and where he spent so much time in helping was with Mr. and Mrs. Otis Tillman in their ministry in Buffalo, New York. Good News Camp, Child Evangelism Fellowship, nursing homes, Meals on Wheels, and the list goes on. About 10 years ago, I was taking a trip to Dayton, Ohio for work and invited Dad to go with me. Part of my off time, we spent visiting the U.S. Air Force Museum near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It was a wonderful experience. During that trip to Dayton, instead of sitting at the hotel waiting for me while I was at work, he would drop me off and go to Meals on Wheels to volunteer his time. He was 80 years old. Next, Dad was an innovator ahead of his time. He always seemed to be able to come up with homemade solutions for perplexing situations. For example, what type of family vehicle can you get to transport two parents and 10 children and many times additional guests? Well, the answer is a used school bus that seats 18, including one on the inside engine cover near the windshield. That was my favorite seat. Of course, that was before mandatory seatbelts. Dad had that yellow bus painted blue. He said so that children wouldn't mistakenly line up when the bus came down the street. Dad and Mom turned the bus into a camper by turning seats around, using plywood and mattresses to make beds, putting up curtains on the windows. We would take trips with the bus, or should I say recreational vehicle, pulling a little camper behind it. When we would camp out, it was Mom and the girls in the bus and Dad and the boys in the camper. Innovation? I like to think that my dad invented the combination minivan, SUV, RV all in one. Next, Dad was a patriot, a war hero. As many of you know, Dad was a B-17 bomber pilot during World War II, part of the 8th Air Force, Army Air Corps. I love listening to him as he recounted his experiences. He kept a journal of his 37 bombing missions over Germany. In the journal, he recounted his many experiences, especially between July 26th and November 29th, 1944, which was during the last year of the war. The journal contains a picture of Dad's mother, my grandmother, at the train station as he left for war. There was also a picture of Dad meeting with the Queen of England. And I think you'll see that picture in the back as well. It was published in the local paper with the caption, Blaisdell Flyer Talks with Queen. There was also a picture, and I think you'll see that in the back as well, on the door of his Quonset hut where he and his crew slept. The door read, Good Ears, Goody Goody Gunners. I always love that. So many times he praised God for the protection of his crew and himself. I'm not going to recount everything in the journal, but let me just read a passage. This was dated November 23rd, 1944, exactly 69 years ago today. It was his 34th mission to Gelsenkirchen, Germany. He starts off, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read part of the first sentence and the last sentence. It says, today was Thanksgiving Day, so we went to Gelsenkirchen and bombed a synthetic oil plant. Then he recounts the mission in more detail. But I just love the last sentence, which was in several of these missions. He said, today I give thanks for the many countless blessings the Lord has bestowed on my crew, my folks, and myself. Dad was always praising God and thanking him for his blessings and protection. I have to ask myself, do I fully understand what a truly remarkable person he was? Next, Dad was a friend to many. He was friendly to everyone. You've heard that so much today already. He always seemed gregarious, greeted people with a hearty handshake and an inviting smile. In short, Dad loved his family, he loved his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he had an unquenchable desire and burden to help reach those who had not accepted Christ as their Savior. He was proud to call you his friend. As many of you know, Dad loved to tell stories. I love to spin a yarn. In fact, sometimes it may have been a little bit difficult to get a word in edgewise when he was telling a story. I mentioned that trip down to Dayton, Ohio. Well, during that trip, while we were in the museum, I remember standing in front of a World War II B-17 bomber inside the museum. A middle school group of kids and their teacher walked by to view the plane. I turned to them and asked if they wanted a real live B-17 pilot to tell them about the plane. Well, let me just say that Dad kicked into storytelling mode. Excuse me, the kids got a real treat. Recalling Dad's storytelling prowess, yesterday, one of his grandchildren wondered out loud if the Lord is telling Dad stories now, or is Dad still sharing stories, this time with the Lord. I also have to add a personal note that I've noticed every time we visit here. Dad has this great smile, but I also noticed that when the grandchildren entered the room, that smile just brightened. He loved his kids. He loved his grandkids. Last but certainly not least, Dad was a spiritual leader to his family and his church. My dad and mom made it a priority to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They made it a priority for us to attend church, and they led by example. It was not just at church either, but they also set the example at home and included Bible reading, prayer, and related activities after dinner. A verse comes to mind, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord," found in Ephesians. Dad was also a spiritual leader at church. Again, he loved his church and all those who attended it. The Blaisdell Gospel Chapel, his home church. He loved his congregation. He loved the assembly of believers in Christ. And he also supported Springbrook Bible Chapel and Gateway Bible Chapel. His life centered on his Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. I like to think that Dad was both a servant leader and a servant of God. One of my siblings related to me a newspaper interview that Dad had given while mayor of Blaisdell. In the interview, he quoted from the Bible to describe how he would be guided in that position. He quoted Matthew 23 and Psalm 124. Now, let me just read portions of that. "And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ, but the greatest among you shall be your servant." And then, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Thank you, Lord, for the time you allowed Dad to be with us. Even in his later years of declining health, we are grateful for the time that we could spend with him. You provided us the opportunity to honor him for all the care he provided us. Almost 2 years ago, at Dad's 90th birthday, the siblings sang a song of him being the conductor of the bus. We used to sing that when we go down the road in the blue bus. I'm just going to read the stanza. "So three cheers for our conductor, conductor, conductor. Three cheers for our conductor who drives this big bus. God bless him, God keep him, God knows that we need him. Three cheers for our conductor who drives this big bus." Our conductor, our father, and to all of us here, friend, has gone to be with the Lord. Were it not for the fact that we have hope in the Lord that we will see Dad again in heaven, we could be overcome with sadness, with grief, but that is not the case. Because of our hope, we can rejoice that Dad, Chuck, is now in the presence of the Lord, and we will see him again. I have a strong feeling that right after our Heavenly Father welcomed Dad into his presence just 6 days ago, that the first thing that Dad did was to find Mom and our other family members and our friends who have gone before and gave them a big smile, and also gave them a big hug from all of us. And just looking out at the number of people in the congregation today, I would say that was a long hug. I hope and pray that we can spend this day continuing to celebrate Dad's life, Chuck's life, and what he means to all of us. So thank you, Lord, for Dad. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Dad.
walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. I heard the angels singing and someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man and he was smiling as he came. He said, "Friend, you may not know me now," but then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you. He said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his sisters made you cry. He didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took that gift you gave. That's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came." One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made. Unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. I know for sure there'll be tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I am so glad you
again. Are you a life that was changed? I sure hope so. A number of years ago, my father-in-law asked me if I would preach at his funeral. And I told him I would, but it wouldn't be a time we're going to mourn. It would be a time of celebration. And that's what we want to do today. My wife wanted us to have that song that we just sang from George, or that we just heard from George Miller. She wanted it because it reminded her about her dad and about being raised by him and her mom. You know, my father-in-law taught his kids by his actions how to love the Lord. But not only how to love Him, how to serve Him, and how to give. She remembered missionaries that came to this very chapel that would show slides that would touch his mom, her mom, and her dad's heart. And she knew they never had much money. But he gave, and he gave anyway. There was a lot of little things that she remembered her dad did, a lot of sacrifices the family made, because he wanted that to be going to the Lord. Little things, unnoticed on the earth, but now in heaven proclaimed. I have things too that this man touched my life on. I consider my father-in-law one of these little things guy. He never came to our house. You know, you never want your father-in-law to have to fix anything when he comes to your house, you know? But I remember when Gladys would say, well, Dad's coming over, and I'd go around to find every loose doorknob or whatever. And I always forgot one or two because he got his tools out and right then he fixed it, you know, kind of a thing. And I would smile and grit my teeth and say, I missed one, you know? I venture that everyone in this room could say they've been touched by this man. I'm going to ask three questions. And if he's ever done this with you, I want you to just say at the time, amen. Okay? Let me hear an amen. Let me tell it out. It sounds sort of all right there. But first question. How many here have ever heard my father-in-law say this verse? Once I was young, and now I am old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. If you did, amen. Okay. You've been touched by this man. Here's another one. How many here have ever heard my father-in-law say that they need to get a regular Bible reading thing and he gave you a Bible Pathways as instruction? Amen. How many? I didn't hear that. Amen. Okay. This one here, maybe nobody would remember this one here. How many here ever heard my father-in-law say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, in it we'll rejoice and be glad? Amen. That's right. That's what he would say. You too are a life that's been changed. Jason mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's where he is right now. That's why we're not celebrating death. We're celebrating life. Do you believe that, though? I sure hope you do. Because if you do, if you've done that, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus, you're going to have something great in store for you. And I can tell you for a surety, based on the Scripture, based on God's Word, that on November the 17th, 2013, at 4 o'clock in the morning, my father-in-law was ushered into the arms of a loving Savior. That's because he knew him personally. You know, we throw around the word hate a lot. There wasn't too much food my father-in-law hated, you know, but he used to like all kinds of things. But someone say, you know, I hate broccoli. There's even some room relatives that he has which say that they hate the Boston Red Sox. I know there's a few in this very room. I want to tell you something I hate. I hate Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a disease that's progressive. irreversible brain disorder that affects the cognitive, the physical, and the emotional, but really the last is the spiritual. See, my father-in-law forgot all kinds of things, but if he sang a song, he would be singing it with you. If you quoted scripture, he'd be able to say a few of those words. He may not know you. You know, I used to laugh because everybody said, oh, sure, he knows me. Over the last couple of years, my wife and I had to introduce ourselves to him every day. He didn't know. If you were coming to visit, we'd say, so-and-so's coming. And if you knocked on the door, we'd say, so-and-so's here. So, you know, and so he would say, and he was a great actor. He, how are you? You know, you would feel like he, you know. I hate Alzheimer's. My father-in-law did not want to go to a nursing home. We're so thankful for our siblings, my wife's brothers and sisters, and a few of our nieces who helped to take care of Dad so that we could keep him home as long as we have. We especially, Allison, want to thank you. See, without the help of family, he wouldn't have been able to stay home. You know, when we get to heaven, the Lord showers us with gifts. The very first gift that he gives us is to be in his very presence. And that's the first thing that he saw on November the 17th, his Savior. I believe the very next gift, he might have been able to see the mansion that God has given to him, because God's word tells us that. I believe it's just as Richard said, that they were waiting for him, his mom and dad. His mom's name was Gladys, my wife's name after her, and his dad was Joseph. Both know the Lord. And also his wife, Rita. And I believe they greeted him when he got there. But you know what I think the very first gift that God gave to my father-in-law? He gave him back his memory. He gave it back because he wanted him to remember everything that he's done because of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. The Bible tells us in Psalms that that brushes in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He wants to bring them in. He loves them. He greets them. And he gives those special, special gifts. You know, my father-in-law is a saint, not because he acted saintly, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior. And he knew him personally. Clay read to you Psalm 23. This is one of my father-in-law's favorite psalms. Not the most, but it's one. I like the psalm because it's a journey with the shepherd. And I vow that every time I have an opportunity to share, I'm going to talk about this journey. Because it's a journey that we're all on this earth. See, the Bible speaks of life as a journey. Jason mentioned the 70. My father-in-law lived 91 years and 10 months. That's a long time. A long time. But you know, life's journey is finally over. But for you, Louise, life continues on. The journey continues. For you, Wendy, and for you, Linda, for you, Chuck, Gladdy, Rich, the life goes on. For Vicki, for Edie, for Rita, for Tim, for Dave, and for all your families, life goes on. So I believe there's a message here that Dad has for us that I want us to understand. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Psalm 23, because I want you to see this. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. It's a precious psalm. It's a psalm of comfort for those that are facing death. But it's also a psalm of great promise for the living, a psalm for those like you and I who are still on life's journey. And as I said, I'm going to commit myself to every time I have a chance to share it. Notice what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Think about that. Think about the personal pronoun, my shepherd. Ownership. You own the shepherd. But you know, if we own the shepherd, it has to also go on and say the shepherd owns us. What does the word say? Now I belong to Jesus. And what? Jesus belongs for me. For how long? Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. We belong to the shepherd. A personal relationship. He wants to be our guide. I want us to think about this for a moment. On October 18, 1976, it was a year of devastation for the Goodyear family. I think the kids remember it well. It was a tough day. My mother-in-law was the glue that held the family together. Every Sunday after church, we usually were all over her house to have sandwiches and to do all kinds. She was the glue that held us all together. It was a devastating time, especially for my father-in-law, but he took great comfort in Psalm 23. And you know, he got organized. He decided, well, I got to do this. And you know, there, at that time, he only had 10 grandkids. 10, you know. But so he had 10 grandkids, and he had most of his kids, most of them are married. The last few weren't yet. And you know, so in the beginning of the year, he started then, and I know he kept going on when he was with Louise. He would write down every anniversary and every birthday and all those things. And if you're getting $10, or you know, most of us were $10 guys, you put that in the envelope, you know. And then you put them all together, and when it got close to your birthday, your anniversary, you got your card. Do you remember that? He did that all the time. He was organized. Richard talked about a time when his dad was in the service. You know, everybody prayed that the Germans wouldn't be able to hurt him. Nobody prayed about the English, you know, I guess, you know, but... some know that he was shot down by friendly fire. But God protected him. He had a praying mother at home that protected, you know, and God protected him. God, as our great shepherd, he protects. But he also preserves us. He preserves us because, you know, life, we could give up. A lot of people give up when you face things like this, but he didn't give up. But there was something missing in his life. And God also provides for us. In 1978, God brought Louise into his life. And for the next 30 plus years, maybe 32 or more, whatever it was why he was able to do it, they served the Lord together. They hit nursing homes together. They did things together. They worked at Good News Camp together. They worked all over the place doing things together. See, my father-in-law needed a helpmate, so Louise, we appreciate you being that helpmate for him. God preserves, God provides, and he protects. You see, on this journey, the shepherd promises to meet all of our needs. I want you to see where the shepherd takes us in verse 2. Look at your Bible there. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I want you to notice that. You underline he makes. This is the only time in that passage that he makes you do something. He makes you lie down. He wants you to have rest. The green pastures are wonderful in Scripture. You see, it's in the green pasture where we find peace. Because the Bible says he's our peace and we're with him. So this time in the green pastures is our alone time with the shepherd. In the green pasture, we find nourishment. The Bible tells us that he's the bread of life. He wants to feed us. He wants us to be in his word to get to know him better. And in the green pastures, we find rest. You know, the first few years that my father-in-law was with us, we would hear him lay in his bed and he would pray. He prayed out loud. And I couldn't help but reflect that those were times that he was alone in the green pasture with the shepherd. He hated Alzheimer's too. And he wanted to go home. He wanted to go home. The green pastures is a place where we're alone with the shepherd. It's a place of contemplation. I hope you have that time with him. I hope you have that time of personal reflection. But that's not the only place. Look at verse 2. He also leads me beside the still waters. Now, here's a little different. He's not making us do it. He's not even making us follow. But he leads if we'll go. He leads me beside the still waters. But I also want you to know, he doesn't make you drink. That's something we have to avail ourselves of. You see, it's beside the still waters is the place of refreshment. Beside the still waters is a place where, you know, we can be alone with God, but often it's time when we're in fellowship with God and with His people. The still waters is a place like this. And I'm glad that Richard mentioned every single time when this church was open, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, my father-in-law and his family were here. Because he believed in the scripture that says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Gather together. You need the still waters. Remember I said, life's a journey. So far we've seen that he led us, first of all, into a personal relationship. Then he leads us by the green pastures. Then he leads us by the still waters. But look what verse 3 tells us. See, in verse 3 we see what the green pastures and the still waters are all about. You know what it says? He says, he'll restore your soul. This is important. I want you to listen, especially my family. I want you to, you see, sometimes the cares of this world, the problems of this world, drain us of everything. And we need to be replenished. We need to be restored. And that's what the still waters and the green pastures are all about if we follow the shepherd. You see, if we're at peace with God, if we're in fellowship with Him, we're in fellowship with His people, He's going to replenish us. He's going to give us the strength to go on day by day, moment by moment. But then I want you to notice verse 3. Verse 3 tells us the journey of life takes us with the shepherd. Notice it says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. You see, when you can say you have a relationship with the shepherd, when you can say he's my shepherd, he's going to lead you. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I want you to think about it. Notice it didn't say one path. It said paths of righteousness. You see, all our paths may go in different ways, but God has a path of righteousness for you. You know, there's a song by George Allen says that something, you know, when he leads us home, it says some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. You see, every path of righteousness is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll lead us down that path. The path may not always be smooth, no matter where it leads us, even when we're surrounded by death. That's where He leads us now. Notice verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember I said, this is not only a psalm for the dying, it's also a psalm for the living. See, I believe the dying go through the valley of death, but those with them are going through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, For reality, we've been going through this valley for a long time. Linda was over the house the other Monday, and you know, it's like, you know, we're all in the days, but in talking with Linda, we were saying, we've been in this valley for several years, right, Linda? For several years, we've been in the valley. You see, because of Alzheimer's, it's been a long valley. Because of Alzheimer's, it's been a dark valley, but we're not here celebrating the time in the valley. We're celebrating the time of life. We're celebrating the life of my father-in-law. You know, Louise and Becky and sometimes one or two of the other would come over usually on Thursdays, and they would be singing, you know. And one of the songs that Becky said, and I could hear, because I know my dad and I did it with him too, we would sing, I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky, I'm feasting on the manna of the bountiful supply. You see, that's where Dad is now. He's on the mountain. Louise, he's on the mountain. Dwelling in Beulah land. You know, Beulah stands for the marriage supper. That's where the marriage supper of the land is going to take place. Beulah land. That's where he is. He's on that mountain. We're here today, but in reality, we're still in the valley. We're still surrounded by the shadow of death. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be afraid. Our shepherd says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But notice the progression where we've been on this journey. We've been on the plain where we found the green pastures. We've been by the river that has the still waters. We've been on the paths of righteousness that he walks before us. We've been in the valley of the shadow of death, but now I want you to see where he takes us, because the journey continues. Verse 5. Look at verse 5 in your Bible. This is one of the most misunderstood things. As soon as you see a table, most of you think of eating. Okay? That's what we do. But this table is not that kind of table. In the Hebrew, it's the word shuhan. It means a spread or a plateau. It goes along with the whole story of the journey. It's a plateau. You see, no longer down in the valley. Now you're on a plateau. Now the psalmist is telling, you can see clearly now. You can see down in the valley and you can understand what was taking place in the valley. While we're in the valley, we have a lot of questions. We say, why Alzheimer's? Why have you taken my dad from me? Why do we have to face all these things? Why do we have all these problems? Those are things in the valley. But my friends, God wants us to live on the mountain. Get on the plateau. You see, on this table, on this mesa, we'll experience victory over our enemies. We're going to get back to those enemies in a minute. But on this table, we have experience of victory over death. Oh, death, where's your sting? That doesn't bother us because we know where our Father is in heaven. On this table, we may see weeping enduring for a night, but joy does come in the morning. That's the table that the Lord wants to prepare for us. But I want you to notice what he does there. He says, he prepares a table before me. My father-in-law is on that great table in heaven, but we're not going to stay in the valley either. We're going to get to a mountaintop experience. And what he is saying here is that he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, the enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy causes wounds while we're down in the valley. Hurt things, things that hurt us, are in the valley. And what does God do? What does the shepherd do? He pours oil. He pours oil on the sheep's head. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but it's a healing oil. He wants us to be healed from all those things and go on to be able to serve him. That's where he's taken us. That's where he wants us to be. The oil also speaks of, in Scripture, of anointing priests and kings and prophets. You know, we are a kingdom of priests. And we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to go and to serve God. Now verse 6. First part of verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I did the math, don't quote me, but my father-in-law, from the day he took his first breath to the day he took his last breath was 33,899 days. Can you imagine that? 33,899 days. What did he get? Look what verse 6 says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, how long? All the days of my life. He was never alone. For 33,899 days, the shepherd was well. What's the next word in the verse? It's the little word and. And is a conjunction. I want you to think about it as a bridge. And is a conjunction that represents the bridge from mortality to immortality. What takes place here? He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And on that bridge, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where he is today. Worshiping his Savior. See, we didn't have to wait to heaven to experience the goodness and mercy of God. It's there. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll have that goodness and mercy. That's what it means to know the shepherd. He'll lead you to that house in heaven. I trust you know personally the shepherd that Charles Goodyear knows. Now we're down to Psalm 118. My son read this psalm. Grandkids, which is the favorite verse for Grandpa in this psalm? Which one? This is the day. Right. That the Lord has made. But you know, he liked the whole psalm. He liked it because it begins and ends. It's like bookends. The beginning of the psalm says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And that's how it ends. It was like bookends. And then right in the middle, we have this wonderful verse. about this day. You know, the Bible talks about many great days. One of the great days is the first day of the week when we gather together to go to church. It's a great day. Another great day in Scripture is the day that's called the day of judgment, the day of the Lord. That's a great day. There's also another day Scripture talks about that day. That day is the day of Christ when He's going to come home to get us and take us home. That day is coming. As Christians, we're supposed to pray for that day. As Christians, we're supposed to love that day. We're supposed to anticipate that day. But until we get to that day, we got to live where? This day. This day. This day that we're living in. You see, some live in yesterday. Some people, you know, remember what Orphan Annie said? What did she say about yesterday? Yesterday was what? Plain awful. And some people just live there. Or maybe it was a good time yesterday and you just live in the laurels back then. But God doesn't want us to live in yesterday. Some of us don't live yesterday, but we live tomorrow. We put things off till tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Tomorrow I'll get right with the Lord. Tomorrow I'll be obedient to God and follow Him in baptism. Tomorrow I'll confess my sins and get right. You know what the devil's favorite word is? Tomorrow. Because if you can't get your living in yesterday, he'll settle for you living for tomorrow. But where does God want us to live? This day. This day. This is the day to trust in Christ as your Savior. This is the day to confess your sins and get right with God. I hope you know Him this morning. I sure do. This is the day you can make the Lord Jesus your shepherd. But I want you to see the next part of the verse. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I want to ask you, do you really believe this? I hope you do. Because you see, if you do, you'll see that this day is the day that the Lord hath made. He's working in this day. You know, our days are shaped by the Lord. It's really a humbling experience to realize how little we control things, even important issues. You didn't choose who your parents were going to be. God did. You didn't choose the place you were going to be born. God did. You didn't choose your color of your eyes. God did. You didn't choose the size of your frame. God did. You didn't even choose the color of your hair. Now, some of you ladies have been trying to deal with that, but God chose the color of your hair. God is in control. And you know, we don't make the ultimate choice either. We don't know how long or how short our life is going to be. But I want to address the next few thoughts to my family here. See, I want you to see where we need to look and what Dad has taught us all the time. He says that he wants us to rejoice and be glad in this day. Wow, you say, Dad, how can we do that? You see, rejoice is a heart word. It's a picture of what's taking place inside you. You know, Linda was saying you don't know how to respond to some people because, you know, we've been going through this for a long time. But rejoicing is a heart word. It's something that's inside us. It's how we feel. It's the peace that we have to know where our Father is. Rejoice is a heart word. Glad is a face word. If rejoice talks about our private life, our private persona, being a glad word, it talks about our public life, our public persona. It's the smile that we're able to put on our face. You say, well, Pat, how can we smile? Dad's gone. You see, we can rejoice in our heart that God's gone home to be with the Lord. I hope you read the bookmark, because it's a really precious there. If you didn't get one, make sure you do. You see, we can rejoice that he's no longer suffering. My father-in-law suffered terribly in the last few years. We can rejoice that we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you know, the absence of gladness on the outside is a real reflection of what's on the inside. So I hope you know that he wants us to rejoice. You know, we don't sorrow as other people sorrow, because we have a hope. We have a God that loves us. Remember, weeping may endure for a night, but joy does come in the morning. Today is morning. The Lord doesn't want us to endure our Christian life. He wants us to enjoy it. And we need to be able to do that. You know, it's not God's will that we live in the dumps. He wants us to be happy. But some of us sometimes allow ourselves to become victims of the struggles of life. Sometimes we're a victim of because we lost health, or we lost a job, or we lost a loved one, or finances. Those things are, or we might be going through a personal family thing that is just so devastating. But remember the first half of verse 6 of Psalm 23. His goodness and his mercy shall be with you all the days of your life. God's will, and God's will and my father-in-law's will is that you will enjoy this day. If you don't know him as your Savior, I want to invite you to accept him, because this is the day that the Lord's made, and it's a day that you could remember because we celebrate the life of my father-in-law. We're going to sing together. It was just going to be the grandkids, but I think we're going to invite anybody that wants to join. And I want you to sing it like you're home in the shower. Okay, you know, I mean, it's not this, I don't want that, okay? Sing it out as we go. And we're going to sing two verses. This is the day that the Lord has made, and Christ is the way that the Lord has made. Ladies, will you? Singing. This is the day, that the Lord hath made, We will rejoice, and be glad in it. Sing it! This is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Christ is the way that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in him. Christ is the way that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in. Oh, Christ is the way that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you.
flags presented on behalf of a grateful nation as an expression of appreciation for the honorable and faithful service rendered by your loved ones.
Following the closing prayer, Matt Perez will be dismissing us by our rose. Please bow your hearts with me. Lord, we gathered here on this beautiful day to honor you and a great brother in Christ, the Lord. We ask that you send us forth now into the world. Give us strength, courage to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and to mourn with those who are mourning. And may we mourn not as those without hope, but with hope. And that those who journey with Christ in this life will journey with Christ through death and into new life. And we await the great and glorious day when your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're very thankful for the folks from Springbrook and Blaisdell who have provided lunch for everyone. And so we're going to be inviting everyone to go downstairs. Let's just give thanks for the food. Father God, thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the day. We thank you for family. We thank you for friends. Bless our time around this table, we pray. In Jesus' name.
I come across this verse I was reading, and then I got the phone call saying that Dad died. I was reading these verses. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, yeah, Dad. He died. But he's not here anymore. He's in heaven. He was the Lord Jesus. And he said to us, when I die, don't cry for me. So, I'm not going to cry too much for him, but I thought that verse went right along with what I am resurrection and life. So, goodbye, Dad. I thought I'd be called up here, but I didn't.